This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Grants is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Commonwealth Building Supplies, Davinia Grow Foods, Mobile Garage Technologies, the National Insurance Board, and Popeyes.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on The Foundation. This beautiful Monday out here. I don't know. I mean, many of you may be in Mondays because you had such a rough weekend. But for those of us who are married and well-rest, we say good Monday to you, right? We're in the thick of it, back to the workday, back on this kind of a hamster wheel, making some things happen. It's so good to be in your company. It's wonderful to be here today. I got a slew of things I want to talk about. I want to be decent with you and let you know that. I had this sort of an entire thing laid out. I called some people to talk about this. We can get into that. I called some people to talk about it, but I got a very good call from my good friend, right? I got to get a couple minutes of your time. So I say, oh, who's this? Leslie Miller, right? Ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful Monday morning, we got Leslie the Portcake Miller in here in the studio with us, being able to talk about a few things. You know that you make sure you pick up the newspaper to talk about those things. The Guardian today, on Monday, March 27, 2023, talks about a few things. The Shantytown, the appeal failed. The group alleges that Grant Thompson erred. And then the petroleum retail, you know, Leslie, we want to definitely talk about that. The petroleum retailers pledged decisive action. We're going to talk about that and find out more information about that and get into that. Let's talk about this also. I know some persons in Bimini. I understand that my bishop's brothers may possibly be in that. The Ellis's in Bimini, 12 houses, 12 families left homeless after the Bimini fire. So we want to talk about those things also. The line's going to be wide open today, guys. I want you to be a part of the conversation. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 422. Or hit me with the text, 422-4796, 422-4796. The line's going to be wide open today. Leslie Portcake Miller, my brother, it is so wonderful to have you in the studio today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm also joined by my very good friend. We're going to get into it after this first segment. We're going to get into it with none other than my good friend, Garth Roseborough, to be able to talk about a few things that's happening internationally. But Leslie, go ahead, tell me what's heavy on your heart this morning. Talk to me.
Morning, Bahamas. Always a pleasure to be with you, my brother.
Absolutely.
I tell you, it's on my heart. This man called, what the hell you got? Raymond Jones, eh?
Raymond Jones Jr. I tell you, he's eight so, man.
Which gas station do you operate? Because he ain't own none. What do you operate?
The, Roca's gas station, the first one out
yes,
there.
Yes, that belongs to Mr. Roca.
Yeah.
That's Roca.
So he's operating that now.
Oh, he's operating that.
He's operating in that entire complex.
Like, so he's still renting.
I don't know if he's renting or buying. I reach out to him to be able to have a conversation. Mr. Jones, I know that we're waiting to be able to have a formal conversation. I don't want to speculate.
Yes.
Okay, so I have to be able to get to know where he is in that particular position. So he ain't come yet, but he's back in the papers today and talking about these things. Ladies and gentlemen, let's read a little piece. It says, Bahamas Petroleum Retailers Association President Raymond Jones Jr. said yesterday retailers are set to take decisive action to cut their operating costs in the coming weeks. After the government failed to live up to the word to address the concerns regarding inflexible margins within the stated time frame. Talk to me, Leslie. talk to
you. You know, what I find interesting and what I find bold and presumptuous about this man is these threats on the livelihood of the average ordinary bayman. They are renting their stations. They get 54 cents on a gallon of gas. Mm-hmm. The importer get 33 cents on a gallon of gas. And he's saying, and this would really angered me. He's saying, just like Bahamas Power and Light, we should be able to pass on our cost to the consumer. Mm. But how the hell his little gas station get to be on par with Bahamas Power and Light, which is owned by the people of the Bahamas?
In principle, I guess he's talking about.
Huh?
In principle.
In principle. Now, that means all of us.
Watch me.
Has the right to pass on our cost then.
Now, let's talk like this, Leslie. Yes. Because we can chop it down. Yes. I know you got the insight. I won't get this from you. Now, his position is that we've seen the government take on a position and flex for external people. They flex for RCL. They flex for everyone and yield it to them.
For
RCL to be able to ensure...
That ain't finished yet.
It's a draft dealer.
That ain't finished.
Leslie, I know you put your PLB hat back on.
Ain't no PLB. I said it ain't finished yet.
Let's go.
As far as I know.
Now, let me talk like this now, Leslie.
But he went further. He said... A lot of the challenges they face, I'm sympathetic to. And he said that the cost that they're going to pass on, it's not significant for consumers. We are talking pennies on the gallon of gas.
Mm-hmm.
But those pennies on the volume are significant to the retailers. Yes, it is significant to the retailers.
Mm-hmm.
But the retailers know that their problem is with the distributors, the owners of those stations.
Mm-hmm.
Their fight is not with us, mm-hmm. the consumers, mm-hmm. and it's unfair for him to try to push that load.
The last time you sat with us, you said to us that the retailer is sitting back, letting them fight this fight for
us. Yes, and then one of them got involved themselves and said it's not going to hurt the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they get their increase, he can get his.
Mm-hmm.
So you think his concern is for you and me? Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 54 cents. My proposal again to the government is remove... This situation we have with the retailers.
You mean the retailers entirely? That's what you said.
All of them. The less than 30 people.
More less than 30 retailers.
Take away that 54 cents. Let Shell, Esso, and Texaco run their own stations. Pass that 54 cents on to the consumers. Reduce our cost by 54 cents right there. Go into another business. They're never going to make any money to satisfy themselves because they don't own anything. I gave you all the rationale in the world last time, but Esso and those.
Yeah, but we got some social pushback. A lot of people say, well, Leslie, it's wrong for you to sort of assess it like that because ownership necessarily means that I got the gas, I got the this or that. I'm responsible at managing this particular space, and I'm looking for me to be able to get a kickback from that.
So, it ain't going to happen. Not the volume they're talking about or the kickbacks.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian people cannot bear no increase. And the government, I don't believe, gave them no increase.
Mm-hmm.
And the government knows too, just like I know. Your fight is between yourselves and the importer and distributor who control and own y'all. Do not threaten our welfare. But if it ain't going to us, then you absorb the cost. Get your importer to absorb the cost. They make over $100 million a year each. Each one of them, the importers, over $100 million. I said over $100 million.
That's heavy. My eye pop wide.
I see it, but that's why I look at you twice.
$100 million.
Yeah, gluck. Yeah,
every single one of them.
Each one of them.
Over $100 million.
Last year, Shell and Freeport, what would come in from Freeport? Shell and, they're all the same.
Focal.
Shell and Focal. Focal made $154 million. Who's playing games at home? These guys are at the bottom of the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
They are the fishing. They are the
don't say sludge.
They are the ones at the bottom.
Don't
of the water. That's what they are.
Tadpole.
That's what they are.
The pilchers.
And they know that.
You need to stop it, Leslie.
And they know that the big fella's killing them, but they don't have the guts. They came to me last week. Some of you know.
Mm-hmm.
Miller, what I want you to do, come on our side, please. I said, brother, I'm on one side.
Mm-hmm.
My God and the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
My family is above all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But don't come to me talking foolish. You know what they said? Could you please put some pressure on the government? So that the government could go to Parliament and force Shell Esso.
But you sound like you could be a good consultant for them.
I don't want to be no consultant for them.
Mm-hmm.
To sell us these gas stations. But they can't afford them no more. Gas station costs you $100 million.
Because
mm-hmm. the fellas know the kind of money they make. It is better for them. And none of them really run these stations every day by themselves.
So essentially what you say, the majority of what they're making is really concessions. That's
all. So they have other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They have other jobs. So it's not fair to be threatening us. But Beamish never came into threats.
Leslie, let's look at this. Let's look at the whole socioeconomic condition in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And we see that things are going up left, right, and center, whether it's from the banking perspective, whether it's from food, wherever it is. And we see that the government is yielding and not pushing back to these things.
Who are they yielding to?
To whatever the pressures are externally.
No, you said RCL. Huh? First of all, your boy, what's your name? The white fella from Old Paradise Island, who got this company named after him, and he ain't got no damn lease.
Toby, why don't you leave Toby alone?
No, Toby.
You talking about Toby?
You ever hear?
You need to leave Toby alone.
You ever hear any name in your life named Toby? Toby Smith. How many white names do you know?
Leslie,
how many white people know named Smith?
Leslie.
Take a minute, I ask you a question.
Leslie,
how many?
Leslie. Let's talk about the retailers now.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about the retailers, because you know Toby is my guy.
Yeah, Toby, sure.
Toby is my guy, right?
Tell Toby he has no right to name his company after this Lighthouse Point. He's the CEO of a Lighthouse Point company. He got no lease. He got no land. And yet, that's his company. He's the CEO. Think of that. Think of the veracity of this guy.
Every single issue. Now, let's watch this. The issues that you continue to be able to bring up is between the government and the people.
Yes.
The government versus the people.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're siding with the government and all issues.
No.
Toby, in his particular capacity, is an independent entrepreneur who's looking for an opportunity past 11
what
years.
What business is he in?
Leslie, I watch you
what
on.
I'm asking you, what business is he in?
In the business of being able
to... what business is he in? What does he do for a living?
He's waiting on the government to
get him. And he ain't starving.
I don't know the other thing.
But that's the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. You don't know. But if this was on Black Bahamian demanding that government do XYZ.
We know all his business.
Would he get the Tribune on the Guardian? Yeah. No. You'll just dismiss him. This is just another fellow.
But you don't think that this is a fight for entrepreneurs in the country? You don't think his fight and his plea to stand up against the government? Because Leslie, many of us has done this. Many of us.
What?
And when we ask the government for something and we go through all the formality to be able to get these things and we push back and we watch somebody else come up with our project and whatnot, we sit back and say, Jesus Christ, that's how them fellas
you
go. Many of us do this in this country.
Who's somebody else?
No, I'm just saying, hypothetically, even you in your capacity under the former administration, when they throw you under the bus, you say, well, Jesus Christ, I got to wait until something else happened. And you went through the formal process until you had favor. Now talk to me. Should we not support Toby in his particular capacity?
Toby? I would support any legitimate baby now. Baby.
Oh my God, you said so.
Illegitimacy on the man. Huh?
You ain't put illegitimacy on the man. He ain't illegitimate. I think he's working above board. Talk to me.
Is he a Bahamian?
Oh, Jesus God, Leslie. Let's talk about this, Leslie.
Listen.
And let's talk about these things. This man here has watched our government.
The
government of the Bahamas, not our administration.
Why didn't the Right Honorable Hubert Ingraham, the Prime Minister.
Minister Ingraham?
And the Honorable...
That's your friend, by the way.
Minister of Tourism. Yeah, he's my friend.
Okay.
And he's still coming back to take over very shortly.
My God, Leslie.
Tear Logger. He got four of them brothers with him. Listen, Hubert Minnis, whenever he pleases, will be the next leader of opposition. No, even much for that.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Leslie can be with me not long, but be here. I got it right now.
But Leslie. I want you to know, it is not fair for this man to be threatening us with high fuel costs because they know.
I can bring him on the show.
Okay.
We can have a very clear conversation because I've already reached out to Raymond Jones. I know him personally.
And ask him about their
I can ask him about these particular things. I can ask him about their stake in the industry, their ownership stake in the industry, what they're going to be doing, and how they can take such a strong position with the government. Now,
and not take it with those who
with the retailers,
have their knees on
the wholesalers,
neck for the last 50 years.
The wholesalers.
The owners. Yeah, the owners.
Okay.
The owners.
Okay. So what you're saying to me is that they're truly in a management capacity. And if they want to be able to have a conversation about what their intake is, they should really be talking to who owns the entire industry.
Yes.
Those particular persons.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the ones to give them better margins. The government shouldn't move one eye on it. If they do, believe me, you can hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you that.
Well, I know. You can be right here.
No,
I ain't got no problem with that.
And I will go against the government, if the government has made that decision, that give them an increase because it's not warranted.
I want you to come
and there's no justification.
Let's see if we can talk on Friday. What you do on Friday?
I don't know. I just hope I live to see Friday.
Praise God. But if you live to see Friday, come sit down with me.
No,
let's talk.
I can't promise you that.
Let's see if we, Mr. Raymond Jones, and have an opportunity to be able to speak with the government and find out, because I won't have a lopsided conversation. He's already spoken to the media. I want to know about his position, how he could take such a strong position. And guess what? It's a unified position, Leslie. This ain't only him one saying this. This is an entire body.
I said
body.
Less than 30 people is going to decide our destiny and put an onerous burden on the backs of our people, 30 people?
Mm.
You think that's fair?
Mm.
You really think that's fair?
But we can talk about it, Leslie.
Huh?
I appreciate you stopping
30,
by,
I
my
said.
Brother. There's only 30 people.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Leslie Mitter here, the pot cake, really being able to take on
y'all
the price.
Good afternoon.
For
and
the
and
young...
if you don't know where this man gas station is, boycott him if you do foolish.
Leslie, you're doing a lot today. You won't boycott
him. I say boycott him and don't buy his fuel if he decides to threaten our welfare. Okay?
Leslie, that's a lot. This ain't war, Leslie. This is the preliminary setting to find out where we can go.
So what you do? You eliminate the guy before you get to the finals.
But listen, we ain't even declared nothing yet. We got to know where we are.
The man right here on the front page.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can take a quick commercial break and get back.
Okay.
We are here, the foundation. Leslie Mitter start the show off with a bang today. It is a hot thing. My brother, if you're out there, Raymond Jones, I want you to be able to give me a call. Please give us a call so we can get clarity. And no. Leave my boy Toby out of this. He got nothing to do with this. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Get cash back from the Water and Sewage Corporation. Receive $10 off your bill when you complete our online survey.
We want to hear from you. Help us serve you better.
Visit www.wsc.com.bs to complete our survey and receive $10 off your next bill.
Cashback offer applies to the first 100 customers.
It's fast, easy, and rewarding.
The Water and Sewage Corporation. Committed to growth, committed to quality.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
In 1973, the Bahamas gained its independence and CBS Bahamas opened its doors. From humble beginnings, CBS Bahamas is now the nation's top supplier and installer of architectural building products, the country's largest home improvement retailer, and offers the most extensive online shopping platform in the Bahamas. That's a lot to celebrate. We're 50 and fabulous. Visit us today at CBS Bahamas, CBS Pro Store, or cbsbahamas.com.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company right here on the Fountain, chopping it down on this absolutely gorgeous Monday. Leslie came in the studio, dropped the bomb, and then he left, right? So he's gone. In fact, this entire ordeal happened within the space of 20 minutes. It is bananas how this thing happens, but I'm so happy that we're here to capture this. And I just want to be able to know, I want to be very clear with Leslie. I want to have a sort of a conversation of balance with him. I see that he continues to be able to agitate for the government and the government's perspective and position for a long time. But the people of the Bahamas, those persons who at the bottom of this proverbial totem pole that he continues to be able to speak about, the quote unquote pilchers, that's all of us. That's me. That's me, the grassroots. This is the label that we've gotten from the Progressive Liberal Party for a very long time. We have been identified from a political standpoint as the grassroots. And now we seek to stretch our limbs out to the horizon, out to the sun, and continue to be able to reach up. We are yet being blade down, cut down. And there are relentless agitants and those who perpetuate this sort of an idea to retain the tradition in this particular capacity and not giving us an opportunity. I cannot fight. I cannot fight the young entrepreneur who wants to grow. We like Pinocchio. We won't be a real boy one day. We've been playing boy for a long time. The proverbial strings of our lives and the way that we've moved been pulled by Geppetto, which is our government. Now we seek to cut those strings. The strings, this is what we get. I got a couple of texts here. He says, listening to Mr. Miller is hard to believe. That is why a cabinet minister, listening to Mr. Miller, it's hard to believe that he was a cabinet minister and an MP. See why where we are where we are 50 years later? People like Mr. Miller, who sat in the position of power, did absolutely nothing to advance the Bahamian people and the country. Oh, I forgot. Yes, he did something. Advanced division and cynicism in the country. My God, these are texts coming through. Persons are being able to say that. I say, I often wonder if people go back to their watering holes where people who think exactly like them reinforce to them that they are superstars and the entire country will be swayed by their opinion. To the contrary, everybody forms their own opinion. If you come with verifiable facts, facts can sway opinions. If your opinion coincides with an established opinion, then, and only then, will people be on your side. Imagined celebrity doesn't sway anyone. This is some text that's actually coming through. It says the petroleum retailers are not seeking to pass increased costs to the public. They are seeking for the government to lower the rate on the taxes that the government collects so that the retailers will have a greater profit margin. There's some texts coming through. And I didn't have the show set up for this. Let me see if I can take a telephone call. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, yes. Howard, good morning.
Good morning, my brother. How you doing?
I'm good. And I was calling while Mr. Miller was on, you know, but he's gone now. But, you know, Mr. Miller said that we should not be threatened by force. But Mr. Miller was the former chairman of BEC, BPL, I think maybe twice or thereabout, mm-hmm. and did not he capitulate to the demands of the unions? Isn't that how many times have we seen government given to demands of union when they threaten? When BPL said that we're going to have a black Christmas, what happens? Mm-hmm. They get what they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got exorbitant salaries, all kind of increases and so on and so forth, all kind of pensions that they didn't have to pay on. Why? Because the union said, we're going to strike, we're going to shut down BPL, and all of us going to be in darkness. Mm-hmm. And these are Bahamians who own, they have a right, like everybody else, even though they may not be a union or whatever, but they have a right to fight for what they believe in as well. You know, so for Mr. Miller being a businessman himself, and in the paid, you know, when he comes on and talks about all of the other people who are getting the benefits and he's not getting what he needs to do, he's fighting for what he believes he's entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
So these individuals, they have a right to fight, and the government is already taking a whole bunch of taxes. Why can't they take 5 cents, 10 cents of the tax that they're getting, you know? Because all the money that they get, It goes in a black hole anyway.
Government don't go that way. They just go up. They don't go back.
You know, there's nothing wrong with if they're taking, if the government is getting a dollar, take 90 cents and let the guys live, man, because, you know, all the money, if the government get $3 billion, they ain't getting nothing out of that. They could just increase the thing. They go and fly all over the place, man. So these are, the government need to sit down and talk with these guys and, you know, work it out.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for that. And I am really here to see this sort of development between the people and this government. I believe that the lines have been drawn, the proverbial lines have been drawn. I wouldn't go as far to say that there is a proverbial war of any sort, civil or otherwise. I do believe that there is a very clear understanding as we progress into the future, as we move progressively and our dreams continue to be able to sort of contract instead of expand, right? I believe that the lines have been drawn. I believe that those persons in ownership positions, in entrepreneurial positions, and understanding that taxes are increasing every Jesus day, every way you turn, there is more taxes. We had a great opportunity to be able to talk to the Department of Inland Revenue to talk about the concepts and ideas that are in these particular spaces, right? And what they're going to be doing there. And the taxes that are levied upon the Bahamian people is exorbitant, right? And we know that each administration talked about the lazy way of being able to collect revenue for the country is taxing. We heard that more specifically from the former administration. Yet, they've become more creative in identifying even the subsectors or areas where we try to sneak to make a couple of dollars and tax those areas, such as Airbnbs. So we got to have more conversations about these things and be very clear about how we're moving forward with that. But today I wanted to talk about something different, right? Today I wanted to talk about something different. I wanted to talk about Uganda. I wanted to take that time out to talk about Uganda. Most recently, over the past week or so, we've been seeing in our social media spaces, and the lines are wide open. If you want to do that, we can do that. But give me 2 seconds to be able to get this out, right? Over the past week or so, we've been seeing Uganda take on a very strong position and looking at their position as it relates to this anti-gay legislation. Now, firstly, the legislation came out in 2013, and it wasn't passed in the House. I don't think they had a quorum or something like that from 2013, but it came back. And coming back, there has been this overwhelming support in Uganda for this kind of position for anti-gay and anti-gay legislation, right? And so the speaker took on a very clear position. She said, I've received threats, right? Guys, make sure you check it out and look it up. I don't know if you are checking these things out. Go online and look at this stuff up. You can Google any of this. She said, I've received threats. I've received all these things and all manner of stuff. She said, people are afraid that we're going to get all these issues and whatnot. Let's talk about this, right? I want my producer to be able to play our first clip. This is from a Ugandan politician, right? His name is Masa. Let me see if I can pronounce this right. His name is, let me see if you can pull him up. It's a Uganda politician who's put some information out there. It's this Musa Ekwire. Musa Ekwire. He's a Uganda politician. And this is his position in parliament in Uganda. Hear this out.
In our country, we will have our morals. We'll protect our children, and we are making this law. We are making this law for ourselves. We are making this law for our children. We are making this law for the children of our children. This country will stand firm. And once it passed, I can tell you, Madam Speaker, we are going to reinforce the law enforcement officers to make sure that homosexuals have no space in Uganda.
I thought this was absolutely bananas. I thought it was crazy. I had to start to do all sorts of searching. I went up and down. Oh, yes, I got in Texas. Uganda is a sovereign country. We're not fighting their sovereignty. We're not fighting their position. We're talking about this stuff. And I got my very good friend, Garth Rosborough, in the studio with me to be able to chop these things down. But let me get this foundation out. Let me get the base out. So I did up and down. I said, wow, what is this? This is crazy. Uganda has 46 million people. What is their murder rate? Last year was 4,400 and some. Almost 4,500 people was murdered last year alone. And so they have all these issues that's going on around them, and they take such an impassioned position on these Christian values that they claim to be at the forefront of what needs to be standard and represented in Uganda. The United States of America also has been listening to this, and as the true proverbial captains of the world, the superheroes of the world, quote unquote, America has taken on a very strong position on this. This is the White House Press Secretary, Carrie Jean-Pierre, taking on this particular position. Listen to what she has to say.
We have grave concerns with the passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act, AHA, by the Parliament of Uganda yesterday. And increasing violence targeting LGBTQI plus persons. If the AHA is signed into law and enacted, it would impinge upon universal human rights, jeopardize progress in the fight against HIV/AIDS, deter tourism and invest in Uganda, and damage Uganda's international reputation. The bill is one of the most extreme anti-LGBTQI plus laws in the world. Human rights are universal. No one should be attacked, imprisoned, or killed simply because of who they are or whom they love. And with that, my colleague John Kirby is here to offer up.
Heavy stuff. This is the position. Uganda's taken on a very strong position. And I thought it peculiar because Uganda is also part of the Commonwealth of Nations. Uganda's position is a position that we share as a part of the Commonwealth of Nations. They had sort of this half in the early 1800s. They had this kind of position where they were a part of the British imperial arm, where they had protection. Now, Kenya was fully colonized, but right under them, Uganda, which is also Ubanda, right? They had this sort of a area where they were protected by Britain, right? So they had this quote-unquote self-governance, but not necessarily full independence. When they became fully independent and identified those things, they then became a part of the Commonwealth of Nations. And so I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, despite the treaties, despite these kind of positions that they've taken, despite all of these things, Speaker of the House in Uganda, I think her name is Miss Anita. Did I write her last name? Miss Anita. She took on a very strong position and she indicated, and I'll tell you what she says. She says, I don't need to, and I kind of paraphrase it. I don't need to go to America. I've received significant threats since then. She said, Uganda has its convictions and we stand on that. Even if I have to go in my backyard and dig cassava. This is what she said. I don't have to go back to America. Now, this is amazing to me. This is amazing to me because I did the numbers and, you know, I can research some things before I come to you. And I'm looking at these numbers and out of almost 46 million people, there is a significant percentage, 1.5 million people with HIV and AIDS in Uganda. Now, it's definitely not the highest amount on the continent, but definitely is significant. 1.25 million, 21,000 people die annually, based upon information that I've just read, what I've read most recently. 21,000 people die annually as a result of HIV and AIDS. And so they had aid. Their aid was designed strategically from within their borders, but they had external help. And I'm saying, you know all of this and still took on a very strong position and conviction. Why? Why would you go against this kind of position? We've seen most recently our government. Watch me bring it home. We've only been talking about immigration. We've talked about immigration and what needs to happen from an immigration standpoint. And our government took on a very strong position at the forefront and said, we will be able to rectify this. And I kind of surmise it. We will rectify this. And then we go to the 44th meeting of the CARICOM. The prime minister took on this kind of position, say, we're going to be able to help and we're going to do as much. So it seems as though he kind of softened his approach to be able to deal with that. We heard from Clint Watson indicating that, no, the prime minister softened his approach because we are on the world stage, so forth and so on. I surmise these things. Prime Minister came back and said, we did not. We still stand strong in our position. This is crazy. It feels like a pretzel. You continue to contort your position. But Uganda, in the midst, even with their affiliation and their treaties, even with their association with the CARICOM, they've taken on this conviction and this position. So the atmosphere is charged with a black country taking on such a strong position and the White House speaking directly to them. Then, our very good friend, Belinda Wilson, went to speak to the Rotary Club. And in going to the Rotary Club, one of the Rotarians asked her about a transgender position as it relates to education. Here's Belinda Wilson.
That it would be wise for a component of transgender, the various different family compositions, it needs to be addressed and not addressed that you would be pushing an agenda or you would be taking a side or position, but students need to be aware of what is happening in that vein, because remember, we are preparing them for the world.
Bananas! Students need to be prepared because we are... Now, I call my good friend Belinda. And Belinda says, Howard, I stand by what I said, and I don't care to kind of add any legs to this particular position. But the entire atmosphere of the black diaspora is charged with this kind of a conversation. Now, my position is this. When I first start texting, after you get from the Nokia bubble up and me pushing the buttons 8,000 times, and they start to give these acronyms, I couldn't understand what the acronyms were. With the LOL, and my wife told me a joke the other day. She says she knew someone who was texting. She said the fella thought LOL was lots of love. He was texting this girl. He said, I love you too, right? No one knew what this was. What is LOL? Lots of love, right? He said, oh, this is the first text. She loved me already. This is too much. Right? This is what she told me. I laughed so much, I cried. I said, because now we have education to the acronyms that a younger generation knows. My point to you. When I want to know something on the internet, I just ask my children. I don't know. This is their realm entirely. I need to know and be educated from them. And so Belinda Wilson's position to talk about this says to me, she says she don't want to talk about it. I'm going to fight her. She's my girl. But the truth of the matter is that this is an entire stick. Several 2x4s squeezed together that's thrown into the fire. And it's leading to a social conversation that may be taboo, but we're going to talk to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce my good friend, Garth Roseboro, my brother, it is so good to have you in the studio. I thank you so very kindly for your patience and being able to give me these 2 seconds to kind of get this out here.
Well, Howard, you know, I got to flatter you a bit. The Bahamas loves listening to you, so I can listen too. Mm-hmm. But it's good to be here, good to be alive, having some beautiful sunny days here in the Bahamas. And this is why we love our country, because it's just one beautiful place to live, even with our hiccups. Even with our disagreements, we have to truly say that we are blessed people, and I'm glad to be here with you today.
Now, I want to talk about these things. We got 5 minutes before we go to a commercial break. I just wanted to get the good foundation out there. We still have an hour before we can be able to chop this down, but I want to talk about this. This is a taboo subject.
Definitely.
We're seeing in our society, this concept and idea of inclusion has become significantly buoyant. Mm-hmm. It is on the lips and at the forefront of a great deal of conversation, and the conviction of our Christianity, many of us, has been pushed aside to incorporate this new idea, this new wave, this new generation, this new course that is traveling around the world. The reason I sought to have a conversation about this is because, notwithstanding the issues that we suffer in this country, there is a significant conversation about being able to teach our children in this particular manner. And we see that the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers take on this kind of a position. She's six Pete. Only her and Michael Jordan have this much rings.
You understand? And she's in this position and speaking clearly and directly to the people of the country who weren't even, we weren't even having this conversation. But to throw this stick in the fire and then throw your, hide your hand is a peculiar thing. I won't do that. And I know my good friend is going to call. I know that. And she want to be able to call and talk about these things. Now, I'm not here to agitate anything. I just need to have clarity. Is this a time to be able to incorporate this, as we are losing a great deal of morality in our society? Today, you can pick up the papers, your Tribune paper, and Jeffrey Lloyd's in the paper. Jeffrey Lloyd took on a position as it relates to corporal punishment that came out of Bimini. And he said that I believe that we should take on corporal punishment entirely. We should eradicate it out of the schools. We've known corporal punishment, and you know, beaten, we call it beaten. We've known that to be a part of our day-to-day life for a long time. And Jeff's position, former Minister of Education, his position is that maybe our parents have got it wrong. My God, listen, this is strong stuff. This strong stuff. Jeff's position is maybe our parents has got it wrong. I'm going to read a little piece of this. Right? So he says, it is time for us to face the fact, and this is the Tribune, guys. It is time for us to face the fact that the way that we have been raising our children, including how many parents raised me, how my parents raised me, it's not been to their highest benefit. It may get you some temporary obedience, but what does that do in the long term emotionally and from a physical health of the child? I am not by any means suggesting that we go easy on children, but who are disruptive or misbehaving and so on, they are to be dealt with seriously and decisively and deliberately. Not only them, but their parents, okay? But I don't believe that the inflection of physical violent punishment meets the objective that we seek to obtain. This is the position of leadership in our country. Let us change the course of the tradition that kept us in this position. This kind of resilience that we know of, that we speak of, this kind of an idea that we continue to celebrate that is Bahamian, let's throw it out of the way. Throw it out of the window. Talk to me.
If I may speak to the latter, because I'm almost certain that the previous topic that we're going to discuss today is going to take precedence. I was on a show about 2 weeks ago, maybe last week, Monday or so, dealing with this very idea of physically bringing punishment to children. And I want to be extremely clear today as to my intent. I personally do not ever believe that it is ever merited to put physical punishment on anybody at no time. I believe that hitting a person is nothing more than a shortcut to get a desired result. Yes, the process may be long, but patience, when it comes to disciplining, is always necessary.
You know, I got to dig in on this.
I want you to, and I want the Bahamas to listen to me very clearly, so I want to just give a synopsis, if I may, in 1 minute's time, since we're going to a break.
We're going to break right now. I only got 30 seconds. Let me take this quick commercial break. Hold on to it. Let's write it down. Pin it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. 96.9 FM. We got to go to a break, go to news, and be back with this conversation. We're talking about this. I know you want to talk about retailers. Leslie Lynn got you hot. But I want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Have we lost our conviction? Have we lost our soul and our position? Have we continued to genuflect to the IDB, to the World Bank, to the IMF, to this, to that, to S&P, all these things, and lost the soul of who we are, what our grandparents put in us? Let's talk about that. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation.
At Popeyes, get the chicken sandwich you love, but make it blackened. Marinated in Popeyes blackened seasoning, that is. Our new juicy filet is fried to perfection without the breading, served on a toasted brioche bun. Try it today as a combo or a la carte. Don't forget to choose your level of spice today at any one of our three locations.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to?
Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
July, August, September.
Bendy, what on earth are you doing now with all those red X's on the calendar?
I verified in person for my NIB pension today, so I'm crossing out all the months until I have to verify again.
Oh, yeah. By law, we are required to verify twice a year, in our birth months and then again 6 months later. It's important so we can continue to receive our benefit payments.
Yes, the friendly lady at NIB reminded me that the verification forms are available online at select retail locations and that you don't even have to verify in person. Once a sanctioned authority certifies your form, it can be emailed to verification@nib-bahamas.com or placed in the Dropbox at any NIB location.
NIB is making everything so convenient. The verification process is simple, and it's all outlined on NIB's website and social media pages. At NIB, they're making it easier for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company right here on the foundation, chopping it down on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Listen, I did not know. I mean, trust me, I did not know the course of the day. If you're just tuning in at the top of the hour, at the top of the show, rather, we had Leslie Minter coming here, drop a bomb and down. Bomb, you want to know who Raymond Jones, who the hell is Raymond Jones? I tell him he's good people. He's from 8 Mile Rock. He's a good man. He's a good man with great ambitions, and I like how they're being able to do their stuff to be able to put their entrepreneurial desire and drive before this government. I don't see nothing wrong with it. This is what we call business that's happening at the top of the hour. You also know who's Toby, right? Listen, leave my boy Toby. Stop it. Because this is a fight that I'm seeing sort of emerge locally that is between the people and its government. And Leslie Miller has continued to be able to agitate from this particular position. Leslie says, no, Howard, I'm on the side of God and the Bahamian people. You know, family is above everything else. And so I always enjoy Leslie Miller for being able to take on such a tenacious position and an impassioned position. We always know him to stand for that. But I'm in the studio today with my good friend, none other than Garth Rosborough, really being able to talk about some things. I brought something to the fore. If you're just tuning in, I wanted to talk about Uganda. And their position that they take with the anti-gay legislation. I played a couple clips, and we heard about some things that's happening externally. But I want to play this last clip here. I want to play from 2018, Carl Bethon, in his capacity as the AG of the country, started to talk about this lesbian and gay agenda. Now, what happened is that there has been significant information going back to the UN that the Bahamas is not a quote-unquote unsafe place for those persons in the LGBTQI community. Let's touch that for 2 seconds right here.
Mr. President, the Bahamas has received a number of recommendations concerning discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity. In the preamble of the Constitution of the Bahamas, reference is made to the Bahamas' respect for Christian values. In our Christian nation, we believe that the family is the foundation of a strong nation, and by law, that marriage in the Bahamas is the union of a man and a woman. Mr. President, although sexual orientation and gender identity is not included as prohibited grounds of discrimination in the Constitution, and there is no legislation which prohibits discrimination in specific areas such as employment, The government continues to assert that there have not been any instances recorded of any legal discrimination against persons based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Mr. President, neither has there been any formal reports lodged of discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Bahamas Labor Board, the Bahamas Ministry of Education, and the Ministry of Health, and there are no cases before the judiciary. Mr. President, leading up to the constitutional referendum in 2016, the transgender community held a press conference without interference, expressing their views on the proposed amendments to the Constitution. The LGBTQI community within the Bahamas has a platform, and members represent their groups on a number of national and regional organizations. It should be noted that the Bahamas is generally supportive of efforts to combat all forms of discrimination against persons and to promote tolerance. During the 71st session of 2016 of the Human Rights Council, the Bahamas supported the resolution that adopts the annual report on the Human Rights Council, which included, through Human Rights Council Resolution 32/2, the mandate for an independent expert on protection against violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Mr. President, I can inform you authoritatively that persons in the Bahamas who are in the process of gender reassignment are currently provided with psychological assistance from the Ministry of Health. Consideration might be given to other forms of assistance. However, as this issue remains highly controversial in popular discourse, a cautious and modulated approach has been adopted.
That's 2008 Carl Bethel as the Attorney General of the Bahamas being able to speak about the Bahamas' position as it relates to the LGBTQI community. I think they go plus now. LGBTQI community here in the country. Now let's have a very clear conversation. A conversation that is tempered. A conversation that is not engaged with significant emotion, that you allow that to run at the forefront and you call here and spew slanders on people. I won't be decent today. I won't be decent today. Amen. I won't be decent. I won't be able to talk about this with clarity and understanding because this is not a conversation to condemn any community, any subsector of community, any choices that human beings make. This is not a conversation for that. This is a conversation that has to do with the collective governmental and administrative will of the people that we put in place to stand up for what we believe in. Or the question is whether or not what we believe has been watered down, has been pushed aside, whether or not this has conviction anymore. These are questions that I have. I just want to know. And this has nothing to do but perpetuating one angle or another. This only, watch me, this contrast and position as to what's happening in Uganda shows the comparison of our ethnicity, our, you know, the fact that we are from a black diaspora, the majority of us. It's a bigger country, more people, so forth and so on. But they have that sort of self-governance in that position to be able to determine their course. Okay, so that's that. In the midst of everything, they have decided to be able to take a stand on this. And I just wanted to talk about it. Where have we taken a stand? Our governments, this administration has come in and had a significant conversation at COP22. Was it COP26? When they first came in to talk about our position and almost scolding the entire world as it relates to environmental infringements, the environmental inconsistencies that are happening here, and how we are the recipients and have to pay so much and do all these things. I commend and applaud this administration for taking on a strong position. But there are some issues that are happening on the ground, whether it be immigration, whether it be crime, whether it be education, whether it be a socioeconomic position that we have yet to be able to put a finger on. I'm joined in the studio today by my good friend Garth Rosborough, being able to talk to us about these particular things. Garth, I just wanted to kind of play that clip from our good friend Carl Bethel and be able to talk about that when he was in the capacity as AG. He talked about some things. He talked about our Christian values. He talked about a Christian nation. He talked about the family structure. He talked about the promotion of tolerance and then the assistance that the government provides for those persons who seek to be able to transition from one gender to another. Talk to me about these things.
We're going to go back to this one. We're going to go back to the beating
of the
children.
We're talking about the whole thing.
I just want to get that beating of the children thing out of the way because I gave it just a few minutes of thought. And I do recall that as a Christian nation, there's a scripture that says that Jesus whipped the people out of the temple. So I do suppose there is a time when whipping must take place. But in terms of children, I don't think there's ever a good time to beat a child. And I just wanted to just share a story that was shared with me by a young man by the name of Sean. And he told me one time that the Bahamian mother, looking at the son, knowing that the son had done wrong, said to him to go down the street and pick your tamarind switch. Now, Bahamians know what that means. A tamarind switch is a tree. The tamarind is a tree, and a switch is a branch. And you get one of those that are quite pliable. They could bend, and when they come through the air, you could hear them coming before you feel it. And he was instructed to skin the tamarind switch and bring it to her. And so mostly the child went off weeping, came back home weeping, gave the switch to the mother weeping, knowing the pain that's going to be inflicted. And this is a normal process. The mother did something that was very unusual. She took the switch from her hand, gave it back to the son, leaned over and told the son to hit her 10 times as hard as he could. And the child looks at the mother in astonishment, and the mother says, "Boy, you better do it." And as the boy whipped his mother, tears began to even roll down more quickly. And of course, it was prepared to fill a pool because of the amount of tears copiously falling from his cheeks. The mother also was weeping. And when the child was finished, the son asked the mother, "Why did you do that?" He said, "You know how difficult that was for me?" And the mother said, "Because every time you do something wrong, that's how I feel." And the impact was one of a reformed child. And it brought to my mind how, as a Christian nation, the Son of God came down knowing that he had not committed any wrong, any sin, but yet he took the bruise and the chastisement for us that we can be saved. And so I can imagine the impact of this world should have been one where we are so apologetic that we would not want to do wrong anymore. But when we call ourselves this Christian nation, I look out on a Friday, but I should say Thursday night, the partying, the reveling, the drinking, the smoking, the juicing, the fornication, the adultery, the ripping off or borrowing money from people and don't ever pay, not paying your rent, stealing things from people's shop. This is what we call a Christian nation.
These are issues that has to do with human beings.
Yes,
I don't know whether or not I want to relegate our people because I don't believe that Christianity brings perfection. I believe it only gives us an opportunity to be able to become Christ-like.
Well, this
so
is why,
we're going to be able to have issues
well,
in the
this
country.
Is why I say to you, let us truly define what it means to then be a Christian nation. That's why I just want to clear up.
That's what the reason why I had my point with Uganda is that despite the fact that Uganda is ever expanding, there is about 46 million people in that country. Predominantly black country on the continent of Africa, they have identified this issue after Christianity was brought to them by the Anglican Crusaders. Christianity was given to them, they have taken on this position like it's theirs. And they have taken on this position to be able to eradicate. If you read the laws, they're willing to lock you up for life.
Of course.
You read the laws. This is wild. And my only point is that they have the conviction to stand for something. And I didn't want to be able to put this. My only point with this is not to be able to exasperate or expand the idea of the LGBTQ community. It has to do with more focusing on the government. They are able to stand in their conviction no matter what the world says. That's Uganda. We are never bending, flexing, throwing something else into the bag, into the barrel, and giving something else to someone else when they come with bigger money, and forgetting our position, forgetting our convictions, forgetting our dreams and hopes. And whilst other persons continue to dream of a space in the Bahamas, our dreams continue to be able to collapse into the abyss, and we have nothing to hold. That's only my point. My point wasn't about the LGBTQ. My point was this, that Belinda actually brought this to the forefront by being able to speak to these things, but I already had been thinking about this long time.
Well, she has a responsibility. She is the president of the union. She sits in a chair where she has to look at all sides of the argument. What I gathered from listening to her statement and reading her statement is very simple. She's saying we cannot put our head underneath the sand and act as if this is not happening globally. It's just my what I'm reading. She's saying that, you know what, some way, somehow, the government has to take a lead and grab the bull by the horn, and we need to figure out how we're going to bring this subject to the forefront.
How do we contrast that to the conversation about putting condoms in school?
Well, the thing that she said is that she's not yet prepared to address the situation, which was very safe of her to do, especially in that particular setting. She was invited as a guest, and you know this very well. You're a communications major. You know, you're actually a guru of communications, and you know that sometimes, like Jesus did, I always marveled at the story, though, of when they asked Jesus, "Who are you?"
This happened over there.
And he said absolutely nothing.
He said, who do you say?
Yeah, no, he did say that, but there was a point when Jesus actually did not answer. And I'm saying to you, even God Almighty himself didn't answer. And so I do understand that she has a right not to answer. I'm not trying to protect her. I'm not trying to advocate for her. But I know this much, as you rightly said, she's a six-peat leader.
Six-peat.
And guess what? She ain't a six-peat leader for nothing.
No, whether
you like
her
or not, she knows how to be a champion. And so this is what I want to say, though, to you, before you take the microphone back from me. The women like Belinda Wilson and like Glenys Hannah Martin and like Cynthia Mother Pratt and Janet Boswick and the likes, these are women of example. These are women that are younger women in this country need to emulate. They need to learn something from. I know we all have our habits, we all have our downfalls, but for God's sake, man, we got too much hoochie mamas, and that is another culture.
You wilding out, sir.
No, I am wilding out.
You wilding all the way out, sir.
We need some more. See, the women are the cradle of society, and they need some people who nurture. So guess what?
If
the younger women who are now becoming teenage mothers are not nurturing their children properly, when they go to school, these are the things that they're going to be confronted with. LGBT choices, Christian choices. What happens to the child who's a Muslim or who's a Rastafarian, and they go to school and you want that child to pray? I'm not against prayer. Of course, I came up in a Christian home. But guess what? The person who's a Muslim is going to be offended by your Christian prayer.
So
these are the principles and the fundamentals. If you want LGBT out of the schools, what they're saying to you is then you got to take the prayer out of school, because this is the premise in which we're working with.
But that's a conversation on the United States of America.
That's where we're heading.
That ain't here.
That's a global assault, whether you want to call it WTO assault, whatever you want to call it. That is the direction the world is heading. And I'll say this to you very clearly and very strongly. It is now up to you, the individual, to protect your own. You now have to get out of that house, go to work, make your money, and protect your family. If the government is going to now introduce such a measure to your children, then you now need the funds to either take them to a private institution that teaches as you preach, or keep them children home and hire an at-home tutor. That's where we're at right now.
Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. This is The Foundation. Go ahead.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Graham.
Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
And good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon, my friend.
Yes. As you played on Uganda, I have also been following that, the premise in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading and listening. Uganda have took a position, and I think it speaks on biblical principle. But I'm afraid to say it, and it may be irresponsible of me, where my passion is.
Just say it.
I think we're going to lose this fight. Let me tell you why I said we're going to lose this fight. This is a gender war. And this is by design. One, we are too close to America. And the UN nation is going to force us into submission. We are saying we are a Christian nation. But the brother is right. We don't live that. Mm. We don't see good examples. Mm. This gender war is designed to replace the traditional family structure.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see locally, right before our eyes, we can see the replacement of the traditional family structure.
Mm.
Here's what I mean. Two persons of the same gender, right across to the north, they are allowed to adopt children.
Yes.
God knows that I have a serious moral problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you adopt children and you're saying that's a family, that's not a traditional family. That child is going to be influenced into that environment that that child is structured in. It's almost like us, we pick up every lifestyle that from the north, we pick it up here.
This
is coming from the feminist movement, effeminate men, and effeminate pastors.
Can I interject something there, caller?
I can let it go. Thank you so much for your telephone call, my brother.
And very interesting observation. But I want you to understand something, though. We're looking at the people at face value. This has nothing to do with their sexual desires. It has nothing to do with their identity and with who they want to be identified as. It has nothing to do with the crusade of them like they are. I'm going to just lay it on the table today what the real agenda is. The real agenda is to depopulate as much as possible.
This is bananas what you're doing here, sir.
So, we already saw...
You're swimming in some deep situations.
Oh, I'm always a deep person. So here's the allegation that we had during COVID-19.
I didn't know you was going to come up with this.
I know you didn't know.
Let's do it.
But I'm a walking time bomb. I can tell you some things.
Let's go.
The COVID-19 saga where we said it was meant, of course, in quote, to depopulate the world. And we saw a whole lot of our friends, by the way, that passed on to the other side. Condolences to anyone who has been affected by such. And the question mark is still out there. Was it necessary to vaccinate? Was it necessary to utilize what we call untested vaccines on human beings? The jury is still out on that. But we did know this for sure, that those people who were the advocates for vaccination at the very top level also were advocates of decreasing the population of the world. So when you have male on male, female on female, we all know that it is impossible naturally to bring forth life. We also know from a spiritual perspective that the one reason that Satan himself was angry with God was because he himself could not produce life. That was left with the power of God as we know as Bible-believing Christians. And so I want you to understand that these people are nothing short of puppets for the people who actually run this world. And those that run this world, they have a master plan to get rid of you. But I'm going to leave it there for Howard to continue in the guest.
Let me take a telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Quite well.
Turn your radio down for me 2 seconds.
All right.
Go ahead.
I agree with your guest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Early discussion you all had, you know, on our obligations to a whole host of them agencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it revolves around the fact that we are a nation of consumers,
mm-hmm,
and not producers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this fact is at the foundation of the problems that we are having now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have to go along with stuff because primarily we can't feed ourselves. And so the world is going a certain way. We got to go a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though it's not out yet, the Anglican Church of England has now condoned same-sex marriage.
Mm.
Now, I'm still waiting on what our local bishop has to say about this, you know, him being in a Christian nation. Okay. Anyway, I listen. Okay.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so much for your text. Guys, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let's not convolute it. Let's not kind of muddy the water. Let's not make it translucent. Let's be very transparent in the conversation. I gave you an example of a global agenda or conversation that's happening.
Correct.
I also made a specific and strategic reference to Uganda, more specifically. Okay. Uganda's conviction to stand in their position and speak to the entire world and cut everything off to be able to hold steadfast to their convictions as a community, as a people, they've decided to do that. My position is, when and where will we see our conviction as a society? Our governments, the last time, let's do this. Let's touch this. I can touch this. Do you remember when, under the last PLP administration, we see the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, had an opportunity to be able to visit the Vatican? And he came back, and this is when there was this sort of a back and forth between Fred Mitchell and the late Miles Monroe. Do you remember this? Okay, let me help you. When Fred Mitchell came back in his particular capacity as foreign minister at the time, he said, it is very important that the Bahamas adapts global views and agenda. I surmise it, if you're listening, Fred, I surmise it. I can get clarity on it. I can pull the thing up. It is very important that we adapt. There is a global view and perspective. It's very important that we understand. If we're going to be a part of a global society, community, and there is important that we have global views. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, Miles Monroe took certain positions with that particular statement as it relates to this concept and idea of what we're seeing now as this conversation about inclusion. Now, we've also seen, as it relates to conviction and position, we have not seen it anywhere else to be able to be spoken of with strength. And that's sort of a determination that this is the Bahamas' position. Come hell or high water, this is where we start. We haven't.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we saw that was Paradise Lost with the former Prime Minister, Lyndon Oscar Pinlet.
I remember that.
Okay, watch me. When in the interview he would have said, well, ain't nobody in my country. It's my guns. It's my little country can't take care of this, and you, the big America can't stop them coming, and you want my little country to do these things. And the entire country stood behind this man and his conviction to speak about the Bahamas. We have yet to identify that kind of conviction and strength for the Bahamian people. My only question is, as we seek deeper, deeper, deeper into the 22nd century, we get further into it. We have yet to identify ourselves in the year of Jubilee to say what we can stand for.
Howard, if I may just say to you and to the listening audience, I want you to correct me if I'm also wrong. Isn't Uganda that country that just found all that gold the other day? Uganda, go and check it out. You see, because the man that has money to do whatever the heck he wants to do.
I see what you did.
So
sir,
my poor little Bahamas, with all of our migration issues, sir, with all of our sovereign wealth issues, with all of our natural resources issue, with the lies being told on tourism, that tourism is always on a boom, and you know it ain't true.
Let's do this.
If Uganda got the gold like they say they got, Uganda could say whatever they want.
We've been had gold. We've been had sunshine and sea. Dubai right now, as they continue to be able to move away from oil, which we thought was the gold of our century, they're moving away to what we have identified to be our source from long time. In fact, they've done so to be able to try to manipulate their islands, like the Palm Islands, the World Islands, all these things, and even so much as to reach out to island nations to come and show me a culture. We have the experience, the sun, sand, and sea that the world wants. That's gold. And people would pay top dollar for that. We see our islands going for top dollar. We see tourism continues to be able to boom. People couldn't wait to get back on the plane. So when you talk about the actual gold in comparison to the intangibles, which is also gold, we got it. And so I don't ever want people to kind of diminish who we are for these tangible things.
See, you're talking also at the national level, right? But here's the difference, man. The difference is that in Uganda, they're making preparations for their citizenry to get a part of the gold, you see? When you have countries like Gaddafi, you remember the fellow named Gaddafi? Mm-hmm. Remember how Gaddafi treated his nation? Everybody got a house. Everybody could get education. Right. Okay, mm-hmm. So guess what? Right now, I understand Guyana is on the rise and about to take care of their citizenry. When a government takes care of its citizenry, you're going to find that the people will support the government. That's what people do. But the minute the government seems to be living fat on the hog and not sharing with the average man in Bain and Grantstown, in Farm Road, in South Beach, in Elizabeth Estates, in Adelaide and Gambier Village, when you're not feeling that little piece of the pie, naturally the people are not going to be happy. Now you're going to bring in this LGBT conversation. How do you expect these people to respond? Do they really care to respond? Because last time I checked in one of our schools that we're talking about educating children, 22 of those children in a classroom are from another country. And 10 are from this country. And last time I checked, the Bahamian ain't juicing enough to produce no children.
Right.
So in 25 years' time, the ones we're fighting for will no longer exist because we're going to be overrun.
This is a big conversation, and this is what I'm talking about. This is not about speaking specifically about the LGBTQ. I know that people always, they get hyped. Jesus, how we're talking about...
I'm bent out of shape.
Oh my God, what are we talking about today? No, this is about whether or not our governments would find the gonads to stand up on the convictions of who we stand for and be able to make those pronouncements to the world. But I like the last caller. The last caller says,
profound.
The last caller says, this is a strong position. We don't produce our own things. And because of
very
that,
true.
we have this relentless dependency on the external world. That's why we have to yet genuflect to those things. Guys, be a part of the conversation. 325-4316, 325-4259, 323-6232, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
Divania's Grilled Food and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try the jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Divania's, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Divania's today at 817-4468.
Vaccines protect those we love the most, our children and our grandchildren. I vaccinated my children to protect them. Getting your child immunized can protect them against diseases like polio, measles, whooping cough, and others. So protect your child today by getting them immunized. My grandchildren are vaccinated. You should do the same. Vaccinate your children and your grandchildren and make sure they are safe.
Take advantage of the National Vaccination Catch-Up Campaign, March 25th to April 6th. Visit your nearest clinic weekdays between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m.
On Saturday, March 25th, visit us at the Red Cross, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Saturday, April 1st, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll be at the Mall at Marathon. COVID-19 vaccines are also available at all locations. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant with the Foundation right here on a beautiful Monday. This is one of the most aggressive Mondays I ever see. This is an aggressive Monday. We have a good conversation. I always enjoy that. If you want to be able to participate in the conversation, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. In the studio with my very good friend, none other than Garth Rosborough, being able to chop these things down. Let me read a couple of these texts. I got like 1,000. Let me read a couple. It says, great show again, Howard. All I would say is I love all of God's children. I don't have a problem with individuals' life choices, but when you're going at children who doesn't know better and try to influence them in this culture, then it's not right to me. At least let them wait till they can understand right from wrong. This is the information that's coming through, right? It says, sexuality, there's a text that's coming through, sexuality is a part of the family life curriculum, and it has been for years. This is a great show again, Howard. I would say, we read that one already. Let's see if we can read this one. It says, Howard, we are not a Christian nation. I say we abide by, it says we abide by Christian principles. We can't even get that right. You guys are just sending false information. Stop the hate. Nah, man, I don't know whether or not we're sending false information. That's why the lines are open. Bring your conversation. Let's be able to have it. I'm reading your text. We're talking about these things. You can be able to do these things. It says, if tourism is our goal, then it can be taken away. Ask Cuba. Uganda's goal can only be taken away by bad deals or force. Let's talk about that.
Well, I know for me, Howard, I can only speak for myself, so if you want to throw stones at me, you can. When I was born, there was something that I observed very quickly, that there was a difference between a boy and a girl.
When you was born?
Oh, yeah, I know that from the time I know who I was.
Up
I know
the canal,
a boy and a girl is two different things.
This is wild.
The one thing that I liked about the girl is she had long hair, and if she's pretty, I like her.
This is
I don't know why I like her, but I like her. The fella, we can shoot marble all we want. We can play hopscotch with the girls. But we used to love to play dollhouse. And I never, ever, ever, ever played dollhouse with a bunch of niggas. That ain't happening.
Negroes.
Or Negroes or young men or whatever. You know, I apologize for the word niggas. I don't like it myself.
Right?
Leslie calls somebody coming in the studio. That's what happened. So I only did it for Leslie. Sorry. But the truth be told is this, right? When I got to the age where I could read and I could go out by myself, yeah, I used to peek at the little girl magazines, you know, them little Playboy magazines. I used to look at those things because I was fascinated. When I got to the age where I could make a decision and temptation came my way one day and I was able to indulge, it only took me about 10 seconds to figure out what to do. I was in. And I wasn't repenting. I wasn't sorry. I was the happiest little boy on God's earth. And I've been happy ever since. So when people decide to make a decision, I want to just say this to you. Children do not make decisions at their age. Children, you form their character. You give them the tools necessary to compete in life. ABC, 1, 2, 3. At the age of 12, you're still a child. At the age of 15, like my mother would say, you ain't no man in my house. Now, when you could turn your own key and provide for yourself, you can decide to do whatever you want to do. If you want to go and deal with John, Mr. Mark, go deal with John. But guess what?
John ain't coming to dinner though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my choice. That's still my house. Mm-hmm. And so people have choices. People have options. You cannot be offended if I do not agree with your lifestyle. You cannot be offended because I want to be straight and you want to support the LGBT. But for some odd reason, I want to make this very clear, why does it seem, and I could be wrong, that LGBT people always have a chip on their shoulder? We have been straight for centuries. There's 5 billion plus people on this planet who have come here by one way and one way only. Choosing. Mm-hmm. Whether it was marriage, whether it was fornication, whether it was adultery, mm-hmm. whether it was in a laboratory. Mm-hmm. You only get here when you put a sperm and an egg together. Why are you seemingly upset with me that I do not agree or I may not like what you're doing? I also have a right. And so as you have a right to be LGBT, I have a right to be straight.
I want to read this text.
And so that's just how it is.
Let me read this text. It says, when same-sex marriage was becoming a thing, proponents said that there's no agenda. Today,
there is an agenda.
Today, now in the Bahamas, we have the teachers union president talking nonsense about normalizing a mental illness. As it relates to Africa, everyone skips over Uganda's law also includes death penalties for pedophiles and rapists. But after hundreds of years of raping and pillaging Africa, including decades of colonialism, the West thinks Africa's main agenda should be the LGBTQ community. That was a strong text just now.
It's strong, but I think they were erroneous when they put a position on Belinda. Once again, she never said what her position was. She didn't say she wanted to bring it into schools. All she said is that we have to bring it to the forefront as a government and deal with this now so that we know the way forward. She's only being responsible in her portfolio as to administer what is going to be next. This has to happen, is what she's saying. Let us bring this conversation to the table. Let's close the conversation and let's move forward. Mm-hmm. That's all she's saying, and I agree with her.
Howard, someone needs to give your guest a plaque. Job well done. He has my vote. I don't know, he's running for something.
I ain't running no more. These people, they do you in, boy. If you ain't PLBF and them, they can do you in, boy. Yeah, I can tell you the truth.
They like you on the outskirts. Boy, you still good, eh?
Yeah, but I ain't fooling with that.
Pick me, then. No, well, you know, next time, buddy.
Some people are great people, you know, you gotta love them, but they just like what they like. Like they say, we likes what we likes.
Let's take a telephone call. Call me on the line with this live. Go ahead. Hey, good afternoon, my brother. What's happening?
Yeah, good afternoon to this Kurt. Is the boy good?
The Goth. Yeah, this Goth.
Yeah, God. I love what you're saying. I with you, and you in the back, and I row in the boat, all right?
So, thank you, my brother.
God is very smart. So listen, Mr. Grant, I'm afraid, you know, God started to talk about the boxing, but you know I don't go down that paradigm. Because mm-hmm. everybody know emotionless get for the scientific BS and the lies and subterfuge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but,
I know.
What happened now, God is so correct. So, Howard, you remember some time ago I asked you if you were familiar with the Georgia Guidestones, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know the narrative of the Georgia Guidestones.
Yes, I know the right? Georgia Guidestones. They're gone.
No, but I didn't hear you.
They're gone. I think they last time I actually read or watched a documentary that they were gone the other day. I think maybe a year ago.
What you mean? You saying they removed it?
Yes. Go look it up.
But it was there from the 80s, so the narrative is still persisting. I don't mind them removing mm-hmm. it, but it's still staying in my brain. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they say when they reduce the world population to 500 million.
To 500 million, yes.
Only tell people, it was erected from 1980, but only people started to bring light to it. But let me remind you, because God may be familiar with this. See, most of us, we just talk and repeat things we're hearing. But we have forgotten that from the Berlin Conference, the real terminology is the new moral world order. Mm-hmm. So the word moral is an integral thing in there. Mm-hmm. So this thing is not deep. It's deep for some people, but it's very shallow for me, because this idea about population control is nothing new, you know. What I'm afraid of as far as the LGBTQ, whatever, right, is the imposition. Not so much so, you know, we will always have those type of people. But what I'm saying is the imposition and the fact that bodily autonomy was taken away during the scamdemic. So we didn't have the right to say what they wanted to put in our bodies, and we didn't have the right for our civil rights to abrogate it. But we have the civil rights activists for these other paradigms, people going to court without lawyers, etc. There's a lot of human rights paradigms that need to be addressed, but yet still the powerful are focusing on this paradigm. So to the caller who called this lack of vision and made his decision, the fact that we have to sign on, he's shallow, because there's such thing called fusion and amalgamation. The third world leaders in Africa, respectively, are being negotiating like children, like master to master. So mm-hmm. what happens is, as long as we don't choose together, it will always be an inglorious thing for the third world subregion. Mm-hmm. In the fact that European countries still have sovereign land in Africa.
Yes.
So this is weakness here all over the plantation, Howard.
Yes.
God help us all, man. We have a vast ocean. The myopic governments have not been negotiating with what we have. We have something that we can negotiate with. We can overfeed ourselves because according to our population, we have an abundance of fish. If they would only manage our fisheries, all our resources, I should say, with sense, then we would be able to overcome this mark of the beast, so to speak, because this gay imposition is very, very powerful. You know, the thing is, most people are gays, but when you tell them it to their face, they have a problem with it. Mm. But I would also like to warn the people that there are many medical complications that comes along with being transgendered. It's not all like they make you believe. Mm-hmm. People go on surgeries years after they had it. They have complications years after. And also, I wanted to punch in the fact that, I really forget this. I was really something crucial I wanted to
say. I can continue the conversation this week, so I want to give you an opportunity.
Something I had to say, all right.
I can give you an opportunity to be able to call back this week. Caller, you on the line with us live. Let me take the next telephone call. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you on the line.
Yes, good afternoon to you and to God, Cialan Johnson.
Hey, what's up, Cialan?
My boy.
The Georgia Guide
my brother.
Was not moved. It was blown up. In July. Okay. Howard, I have some contribution to make on the show, but it takes too long. Just allow me 2 minutes to address something Leslie Miller said, and you've made a point on it. You know, we talk about Leslie Miller always put emphasis on whipping his dick out, what you do, whatever. He tried that on me, too. You know, he doesn't realize that what I did created millions of businesses and technology. When I was there for the first computer, when I was there in 1983, when we developed the Internet. So I won't debate that with him. But here's the point. Here it is that he doesn't understand that we are in the age of dispensation, even now, since AI, machine learning, and deep learning take back, that ideas is the new currency, even more valuable than data.
Wow.
Look in the last 25 years at the billion-dollar companies. They didn't start with anything. They started with an idea and got people to come around them and fund and support it. And this is the problem with the archaic leadership that we have. They have yet to recognize the new dispensation we are in, where the world is run on data. Now we are moving from the knowledge-based economy to the actual knowledge economy, which started in November of last year with the release of ChatGPT. And so if we actually have a conversation, you'll see that it's time for us to digitize the Bahamas. It's time for behemoths to recognize if they have a good idea and they need $1 million, they only need to convince 100 people based on their business plan to give them $10,000 each, and they'll have their $1 million. And ending this with Howard, if you borrow $1 million from the bank, $10,000 payment a month starts next month. If you get $1 million from investors, no payment is due. They're looking for you to add value. In the same way, if you buy Cable Bahamas or Atlantis share, you don't go back to Atlantis or Cable Bahamas to sell them the share. The company builds value, and those shares are sold to someone else. So you could spend your time building and expanding those companies to bring value to those investors. So we should need to have a talk on this one day.
Yeah, we talked about it. We set something. Didn't we set something up?
Yeah.
We set something up for Wednesday.
Yeah. So okay. I'm just saying for those individuals out there, please don't be dismayed by the dinosaur speaking. They are a very small group of people with the megaphones. Then they sound like they're very loud, but it's very few of them. Thank you,
my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. We got to take one more commercial break. This is the last commercial break, and then we got to get back. I'm going to see if I can read a few of these texts before we get out of here, and then we can do that. You know, time is pushing forward, but I didn't know you was going to have such an aggressive show on Monday. Take the quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
Karifta is almost here, and Alive has partnered with TCL for you to capture gold at the 2023 Karifta Games. Switch to Alive and get a free TCL 30 Plus or TCL 30 SE on select Alive postpaid plans to share pictures and videos of our Bahamian athletes as they hit the tracks to win gold. Visit your nearest Alive store or mobile van location and come gold with us at the 2023 Karifta Games.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. 3 minutes before we get out of here, let me see if I can take 30 seconds to take this last telephone call. Caller, you got the real life 30 seconds. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line? You're on with us live? Go ahead. Okay, she or he, they hung up already. Let me see if I can read two of these texts before we get out of here. It says, we can't change the culture and upbring our mindset to any immigrant who was brought up by their family in their home. That is why we wave their flag in our country. So 20 years from now, the Bahamas as we knew it will be no more. This is a text that's coming through. He says, boy, Howard, stop playing with them. If you wanted controversy, you should bring on Rastadam on your guest. I don't want controversy. I just want a conversation to talk about these particular things, right? This is Howard, we all know that we have many gay men inside the House of Assembly. Why are they dressed up as men? This is wild. This is wild what you're saying. These are texts coming through. Let me see if I can be able to read one more of these. It says, listen, please, many gas stations and Mr. Bastian goes gas station inside is a garage. No marketing, no products, no innovation. Look at the gas station in America. Besides selling beer, they have stuff that will cause you to come inside and spend what you need to rethink their products. They need to rethink their products and fix themselves instead of messing with the Bahamian people. This information is coming through. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you. In these last 2 minutes of the show, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in with us, man. This is really what I want to talk about. I just want to be able to ask whether or not we have conviction in this country. I want there to be introspection from our leaders. And anyone who has aspirations to move to government leadership in this country, you need to ask yourself some questions. Are you prepared to take on the job to agitate and fight for the Bahamian people? Or are you going to perpetuate the same rhythm and system in your political organization? We are tired of that. I can't get no amen. We are tired of that. We are tired of you perpetuating a system that you have clinged to from the late 60s, early 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, that continued to be able to feed your family and perpetuate this idea of you becoming an oligarch. We're tired of that. When are you going to get the conviction to stand for all of us? And we're seeing there be a conversation between the government and its people. And you have to choose your side. Either you choose the side of the people, where, like C. Allen says, that ideas is the new goal. And we have an idea to become more. I want to thank you for it, man. I want to thank you for these conversations and giving me the space to kind of chop these things down. I want you to think about it and join me tomorrow. I should have an interesting guest that actually comes in the studio, and if Leslie Miller don't bust through again, they'll be to do what he do, right? Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so very kindly for tuning in today. This is 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company with the Foundation. A beautiful Monday. I started your Monday off with a little with a bang. Listen, this was a bang. Bang-a-lang. Beautiful show, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, I want you to stick and stay for Shivago Lang with Z Live right after this. Have a beautiful day, guys. I see you tomorrow. God spare. Foundation.